Good evening, folks. It definitely is evening. We're not going to mistake this for morning. Good night, I suppose we could really say. But you're all very welcome with us as we join together to see in the new year, to get rid of 2018 and see in 2019. And I was round there. I didn't see anybody in solid ground, but there's cups out and the boiler's on, so there's probably going to be a cup of tea afterwards. So come on through after and we'll have a wee cuppa at the end of this short service. We're just going to stand together and sing "As the Deer Pants for the Water." Let's bow our heads and unite our hearts and let's pray together. Lord, we do thank you for this opportunity to be together in this moment as this year ends. And in a moment, Lord, as we reflect on this year through your word, and as in that same word we think about the year that is to come, we pray, Lord, for a real continued sense of your presence in our lives individually and in our lives collectively as a congregation that worships here in Gray Abbey and worships in Clochy, congregation that seeks to be a real presence, a congregation that seeks to make a difference and have an impact in the villages where you have placed us. And Lord, we know that we can only do that by seeking you, by having a thirst for you, a real desire to be in your presence, to be close to you, to be where you are, doing what you want us to do. And Lord, as we reflect on the year gone by, we will have a real mixture of blessing and joy, but there will also be sorrow and failure in our lives. There will be things, Lord, that we know that we have got wrong, things that we have done wrong. And Lord, we ask that through your grace, that you would forgive us for those things, help us to learn from them and move on, so that as we go into this new year, we will be going in with fresh experiences of who you are and what you want for each of us. And help us, Lord, to know where you have been working in our lives and through us, the differences that we have made, so that we can do much of that same work again, Lord, in the new year. Help us to have eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts and minds to comprehend, and then a willingness, Lord, to go and do whatever it is you would have us do. And as a congregation, Lord, we just thank you for the blessings that you continually pour out on us. As we meet together for worship, Lord, we know that you are with us. We know, Lord, that you are blessing us. We know, Lord, that people can walk through our doors and feel a real sense of something. They may not know what it is, but we know it is your Spirit. So, Lord, we ask for more of your Spirit in 2019. That these buildings would not just simply be stone and blockwork and timber and roofs and windows, but they would be places of life, spiritual life, spiritual nourishment, spiritual refreshing and recharging for those who know and love you, and Lord, a place for those who don't yet know you to come and meet and be with you and to know who you are as Lord and Savior. So Lord, as we continue to worship tonight, we pray that for a real sense of your presence with us. Lord, we thank you for your Spirit who not only moves in this place, but dwells in us as we live for you. So collectively, Lord, tonight, speak to us words that we need to hear so that we can be who you require us to be. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to come to God's word in a wee moment, but we're going to stand and sing, "Be Still for the Presence of the Lord." As most of you know, we've been looking at the songs of Christmas, and I just wanted to read one of the next little passages in that, what's called the infancy narrative in Luke's Gospel. So I'm going to read the little section about the boy Jesus in the temple. So We did look at the wee bit where Jesus was presented at the temple, 8 days old, and Simeon sang his song, and Anna met him. And then in verse 41, we have a big jump to when Jesus was 12. This is the word of God, Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. And after the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. And after 3 days, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things up in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in the favor with God and men. Amen. And we ask God to bless us as we read his word together. I was reflecting on that passage in a wee bit just further on. It talks about Jesus. After that wee passage, there's the bit about John the Baptist preparing the way. And then we jump into Jesus' baptism and genealogy. And I realized there was lots of gaps. There's these big gaps. And I realized as I was reflecting on my own life, as I always do this around Christmas time, just after Christmas and the New Year, I've come to this conclusion that my life is probably half over. I mean, if I'm going to live as long again as I've lived already, I'm going to live to him 90. So there's somebody's in there going, "We hope we still get to 90. But it was a bit of a sobering thought. I thought, it's half time. So as I was reflecting on my orange segments, which really was Tunnock's tea cakes, because of 4 dozen of them to get through and a couple of boxes of Quality Street, I was asking myself, how did I get here so quickly? You know, it seems no time at all since I left school. 1990. I left school. And now I find myself in 2018, the minister of the church in Grey Abbey. You know, and boom, it just happened like that. There was a few other things along the way. There was some other big moments along the way. 99, 2000, and 2001 was big moments, three big moments in my life. I got married in 99. I was saved, not from marriage, but from my sin. Saved in 2000, and I became a father for the first time in 2001. You know, and that was a big time in my life. And then life went on. And then I was looking today, when did I go into college? It was a decade ago that I went to Union College. I was looking at the folders. All the folders were down there. What year was it? The first folder, 08, 09, that semester, September 08, I went into college a decade ago. And I became the minister here in 2014, 4 years, 7 months, and 21 days ago. And where did it go? Blink. Blink, blink, and it just keeps going. And these big things happen in your life, and you end up with all of these gaps. What happens in between? You sort of forget a lot of those mundane things, and maybe some of them are not so mundane. But in Jesus' story, we have these big gaps. We have a lot of stuff about him being a little boy, and then we jump here to his age 12, and then in the next passage about him, he's 30 years of age. And we have little or no detail about his development, his life, what was going on. And some movies that you watch or some books that you read will try to fill in some of those gaps, but they're only guessing. We don't know what happened in Jesus' life in those days. But we've a little bit of information that gives us enough that we need. If we needed to know more, it would be in the book. But we know that even age 12, Jesus needed to be in his father's house, discussing God, his father, not Joseph, obviously, but his heavenly father. In those discussions and in those debates, and we might think at 12 was a bit young, but back in those days, 12, you're almost a man. Now when you're 42, you're still not much of a man, some of us, but, you know, still a boy single on yet. But, you know, he was more of a man than a 12-year-old would be today. And he was in discussing, and they were amazed. And he grew in stature, and he grew in knowledge, and he was faithful and a good son for his parents. And he grew. We know enough that he had growth in his life over those years, but we don't have the detail about that. So we have Jesus getting from birth to 30 years of age with little detail, just a couple of big jumps in his life. And I'm sure if you reflect back on your life, you'll think back to big things that happened at certain times. And obviously some of us have a longer story than others. Some of those stories are quite short, but there's big things and big gaps. And as you reflect back on them, it's good to think about the gaps. We shouldn't ignore the details of our story. It's not just good to reflect on these things, but it's actually important to reflect on what has gone on in your life from birth up to now, the tail end, the last few minutes of 2018. And it's good then to think about those things as you think about where you're going to go in 2019. What is going to happen in 2019? Some people have plans for 2019. Some people have big plans for 2019. So they have. And some of us don't know what's going to happen in 2019, but we need to be thinking about what God wants to do in our lives, because he has been shaping and molding, preparing and equipping us all through our lives. I was asked the question, when did your studies start for the ministry? I said, 1990. They went, 1990? I said, that's when we're onto the building site. And that's when God really started preparing me. I wasn't saved until the year 2000. But even then, I can see now how God was preparing me for this phase of my life. Even back then. God shapes, prepares us, and equips us through all the good times and all the bad times, through all the successes and all the failures. And he uses us through all of that to build his church, to extend his kingdom here on earth. We're part of that ourselves. And in all of this, you know what he's been doing? This is what God has been doing in your life. He has been making you more like his son, Jesus Christ. That is if, in fact, you are saved. If you have Christ in your life, that's what God has been doing. And I know from personal experience that that has been a hard job from time to time. It's took quite a bit of shaping and molding. And someone asked me to speak a moment or two when I went to a congregation, but how was your theological studies going? I was still in training for the ministry. And I said, you know this potter and the clay and the wheel and the clay goes on? I says, I feel as if I'm at the thump stage. God hasn't even started to get the sides up on that clay yet. It's just this big lump just sitting rolling around on that spinning table. But God is making us more like his son, Jesus Christ. Every day, he's using us in his kingdom. He's taking every opportunity to teach us, to encourage us, to help us gain wisdom. So we should reflect in the details and the gaps in between those big things in our lives. But in Jesus' story, we don't get very much, really, of his life up to his 30, but from 30 through to 33, boy, oh boy, we get loads of detail. In Luke's gospel here, we're in chapter 2, there's 21 more chapters in Luke about Jesus' story. There's 28 in Matthew, 16 in Mark, and 21 in John. That's a lot of chapters. That's a lot of information about Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, not to mention his teaching and his example that he set, and it's recorded there for us in what we call the Gospels. 3 years of detail that help us to reflect on our past and help us find direction for the future. Because in the future, from this point on, God wants us to be more like his son, Jesus Christ. That's what he's doing in our lives. You see, we've been talking about the filling in the gaps in our life up to this point, the information gaps. But for each of us, there is a gap in our life right now because we're not enough like Jesus. There's a gap between us and that Christ-likeness that God is working towards. And in 2019, God wants to close that gap. Not maybe close it like that, but it might happen. But he wants that gap to get closer. Who here already knows their New Year's resolution? What is starting tomorrow morning? The diet, the more study, the going to read more, going to watch less TV. There's probably a whole list of things. Top of that list, have you written down in 2019, I'm going to become more like Jesus Christ? Is that our resolution for 2019? To close the gap between where we are now and where God wants us to be. To do that, we've got to read about him. We have four Gospels, and then we have other letters that help us to unpack what Christ-likeness and living for Christ is like. We've got all of that Old Testament that tells us about this great plan that we're now part of here today, in this moment in time in history. We have all of Jesus' teaching, example. We have that wonderful story of his humanity and the relationship that he needed with the Heavenly Father and his dependence upon the Heavenly Father. That need to be in the Father's house as a young man, age 12. And as he went on to towards the end of his ministry here on earth, when in his full humanity he got to that very difficult thing that was his purpose to do, and he was in the garden and he said, Lord, Father, not my will, but yours be done. That's what Christ-likeness is like. A desire to know about Jesus and to live like Jesus is your resolution for 2019, to become more like Jesus. Because the more like Jesus you become, the better witness you will be for God in his kingdom here on earth. Perhaps for you, the gap is a slightly different gap. It's a gap where you are sitting at the moment, and it's where God is, and you need Jesus in the middle. You haven't fully put your trust in Jesus Christ. Maybe 2019 is going to be for you like 2000 was for me, whenever that gap between God and my life was filled, was bridged. That was his purpose. As you reflect on 2019, or on 2018 and previously, has God been working in your life, revealing himself to you in ways that you didn't really know? And are you at a point now where you have lots of information, but you know all that information is no good eternally? You've got to let God bridge the gap. You've got to let him into your life. You've got to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord and Savior. You've got to acknowledge what he has done for you and where he is leading you and where he wants to lead you. Because you know, it seems no time at all since I was standing here at the end of 2017. And it's going to be 2019 in a moment. And then it'll be 2020, and it'll be 21, and 22, and 23, and 24, and who knows how many blinks it will be. We were watching a wee video on Boxing Day, and it was off our niece dancing some really funky dance moves. She was flicking her hair and all. She's only about, what age was she, five? She was about five. And this voice comes from behind the camera, and it goes, Leanne, do you know something? 20 years from now, we'll be watching this back and laughing. Boxing Day was 20 years to the day whenever that video was taken, and Leanne was there mortified at us watching it and her daughter running around. 20 years, gone like that. And these years, folks, will keep ticking by until Jesus returns. There's one big moment, and then all the gaps will be closed. So let us make a resolution before God in our own hearts that we will fill our lives, all of these gaps, with kingdom details, doing what we can for the kingdom, following God and what he wants for our lives, allowing him into our life, allowing him to work through us, so that others who are lost would come to know him before he returns. And the Bible does say that Jesus will return in the blink of an eye. Might be 2019. Wow, what a thought that would be. before this year is over, it may all be over. Who knows? But until then, let us live like our Savior Jesus Christ. We're going to stand now and sing another piece, and then we might get it sung before the new year comes in. King of Kings, Majesty, God of heaven, living in me. And that's what we're singing about. So let's stand together and sing to the glory of God. Now, Lord God, we ask that you would give us the grace to live as you have purposed us to live, to follow our Savior Jesus Christ. May the mercy and love of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit live in us and through us for your glory, now until our Savior returns. In his name we pray. Amen. I think we have a countdown. I think it's just passed here, by the way, but we'll pretend it's not happened yet. Go for it there, the boy. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year, folks.